This morning I invite you to open up your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7, I'll begin reading with verse 1. And once you've found Isaiah chapter 7, you can then also turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1, where we find the fulfillment of this Isaiah prophecy. So Isaiah 7, and then Matthew chapter 1. Before we turn our attention to God's Word, let's ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up Your Word together, we pray that You will give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know You better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which You have called us, the riches of Your glorious inheritance in the saints, and Your incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of Your mighty strength, which You exerted in Christ when You raised Him from the dead and seated Him at Your right hand in the heavenly realms. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 7. Begin reading with verse 1. Let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking His word to us. In the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, and the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not yet mount an attack against it. When the house of David was told Syria is in league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. And the Lord said to Isaiah, "Go out to meet Ahaz, you and Shear-Jashub, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field, and say to him, 'Be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint, because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands and the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised against you, saying, "Let us go up against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves, and set up the son of Tebal as king in the midst of it." Thus says the Lord God, "It shall not stand, and it shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all." Again, the Lord God spoke to Ahaz, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol, or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." And he said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the days that Ephraim departed from Judah, the king of Assyria." And now we turn over to Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, imagine that you decide to take a family trip down to Disney World in Florida. You tell your kids, they're excited, and then the day finally comes when you all load up into the car and you start your trip. You're going to drive all the way to Florida. So after many long hours, even days on the road, and many are we there yet questions, you cross over into the state of Florida. And as you're cruising your way down the highway, you see a sign that says, Disney World, 120 miles ahead. And you pull over the vehicle to that sign, you park there, and you have your Disney World vacation right there on the side of the road next to that sign. You take your pictures next to the sign, you post it on social media, and then everybody loads up into the vehicle, and you turn right around, and you head back to Iowa. Now that would be ridiculous, right? The sign pointing to Disney World is not Disney World. There's one thing that you know for sure, that the sign is not the thing that it's pointing to. The sign was made to tell you where the thing can be found. The sign can only point you to the thing that it's signifying. The sign pointing to Disney World is not Disney World. You don't stop at the sign, you keep on going to what the sign is pointing to. Baptism is a sign. It's pointing us to Christ. It's a sign pointing to God being with us, God taking on flesh, God living and dying and rising again for our salvation, for our deliverance. You don't stop at the sign. You go on to what the sign is pointing to. Baptism is a sign of that promise. I will be your God and you will be my people. I am with you always. A sign of God's presence, a sign of God's deliverance. Now in our Isaiah passage this morning, Isaiah is given a sign. And it's a sign pointing to God's presence, pointing to God's deliverance. And that sign, you don't get stuck at the sign, that sign is ultimately pointing to Christ. What we're going to see this morning in Isaiah 7 is that God is with you. God is present. Either to bless or to curse, but he's present either way. You don't stop at the sign, you keep on going to what the sign is pointing to. And since God is with you, you believe in him and you receive the blessing of salvation that is found in Christ alone, through faith alone. And so first, ask a sign of the Lord your God. That's our first point this morning. God sent a sign that pointed forward to Christ. And one of the signs that was sent a long time ago during the reign of this evil king named Ahaz, the king of Judah, the sign that was given was that this virgin shall be conceived and she shall give birth to a son and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Now what's the context here as we jump into this passage here in Isaiah 7? Well, there's four nations that are involved in what's going on here. You have one, the Assyrian Empire, which is the superpower at that time in the ancient world. It's the largest empire. And then you have a few of these little nations along the Mediterranean Sea. You have Syria, which is the farthest north, and then right under Syria is the northern kingdom called Israel or Ephraim. And then you have the southern kingdom named Judah, which Ahaz is the king of. Now, as Assyria is growing larger and more powerful, Syria and Israel become nervous. Because they're going to be the first ones who are attacked by the Assyrian Empire as they continue to expand. And so what Syria and Israel do is they come and say to Judah, King Ahaz, we want you to make an alliance with us. We want you to team up with us so that the three of us small nations can fight against the Assyrian Empire. Now this put King Ahaz in a very difficult situation. Because if you fight against the Assyrian Empire and you lose, they were known for their cruelty. They were known for utterly destroying their enemies. And Ahaz doesn't want to run that risk. He doesn't want to go against the Assyrian Empire. And so what King Ahaz does is he sends a message to the king of Assyria. We have that message in 2 Kings 16. I am your servant vassal. This is the king of Judah sending this message to the king of Assyria. Come and save me out of the hand of the king of Aram, the king of Syria, and the king of Israel who are attacking me. And then Ahaz took the silver and the gold that is found in the temple. So he takes the silver and the gold from the temple of the Lord, and he sends it as a gift to the king of Assyria. Ahaz was not a believer. Ahaz did not believe in God. And he decided to form an alliance with Assyria and give the temple's gold and silver to the king of Assyria. Now what we need to remember, or what we need to keep in mind here, is that Assyria was everyone's enemy. One commentator said that it's like three mice, these three small countries along the Mediterranean, it's like three mice having a fight and one mouse going to the cat for help. And so Ahaz goes to Assyria and asks for help. He goes to the enemy. And that is why Syria and Israel are now going to attack Judah and try to destroy Jerusalem, because he went behind their back and formed an alliance with Assyria. And that's where we pick up our reading here in Isaiah chapter 7. In the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah. So it's Ahaz, the king of Judah, southern kingdom. Rezin, so the king of Syria, and then the king of Israel are now marching and coming to Jerusalem to wage war against it. And we're told in verse 2 that the house of David, so Judah, Jerusalem, Ahaz, they are shaking like a leaf, basically. Their hearts are the people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. They're afraid. They're under attack. Jerusalem's being sieged. And Ahaz doesn't believe. He's not a believer. But God still sends his prophet Isaiah with a message of hope, a sign of God's presence and a sign of God's deliverance. Isaiah says, don't be afraid. The evil that they're planning, this invasion, it's all gonna fail. That's verses 4 and verses 7. It's not gonna stand. And then, in Isaiah 7 through 9, you see it's written poetically. Isaiah is describing the bigger picture. And he starts with the country, and then he moves to the capital city, and then to the king. So first it's Syria, and then the capital city is Damascus, and then the king is Rezin. And then he starts with Ephraim, or Israel, and the capital is Samaria, and the king is Remaliah's son. And basically, yes, you have these two countries that are attacking you, but when you trace things back to the source, it's only Rezin, and it's only Remaliah's son, and they're being described as two smoldering bits of firewood. They're burnt out. They're no threat. And since Isaiah knew that Ahaz would be skeptical, at the end of verse 9 he says, if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. You will not stand firm in the faith. You're not going to stand at all. In this moment, Ahaz is at a crossroads. He can either trust in the Lord to deliver, place his faith in the Lord who promised to maintain David's throne, or Ahaz will fail. That's the decision being made in this moment. If you do not stand firm in the faith, you're not going to stand at all. And that truth, that message is still true for us today. We might think, we might even convince ourselves that we're doing just fine on our own. I've got this life thing figured out. I'm doing okay. But the truth is that if you're not standing firm in the faith, if you're not trusting in God for your salvation, if you don't have a saving relationship with Christ, then you're not actually standing at all. As Isaiah continues, God tells Ahaz through Isaiah to ask for a sign. Ask me for a sign proving that you can depend on me, that you can trust me. Verse 11, ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or as high as the heavens. And what does Ahaz say in response? God tells him, God actually commands him, ask me for a sign. And Ahaz responds by saying, no. Now, of course, he frames it in a nice religious Christianese language. Oh, I don't want to put the Lord to the test. But that's basically him saying, I don't trust the Lord. I don't think he's going to come through for me. I can't lean on him. I don't believe in him. Now, we know that we're not supposed to test the Lord or put the Lord to the test. And that comes in the form of us telling God that if he doesn't give us some kind of sign, we're not going to do this or believe that. But here, God is the one telling Ahaz, ask me for a sign. He's commanding him. And Ahaz refuses. He refuses to obey the Lord. He refuses to trust and put his faith in the Lord. And notice in this passage how in verse 10, Isaiah, as he's talking to Ahaz, says, ask a sign of the Lord your God. And then after this rejection, in verse 13, Isaiah starts saying, my God, instead of referring to God as Ahaz's God. Ask a sign of the Lord your God, first of all. And then second, the Lord himself, our second point is the Lord himself will give you a sign. God gives Ahaz a sign anyway. A sign proving his presence and his deliverance, that his promises don't change, that he's going to be present to deliver those who trust in him. And since Ahaz does not trust God, Ahaz is going to face the consequences of his decision. Here's the sign. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. You jump down to verse 16, before this child knows right from wrong, those two kings, these two kingdoms, these two kings that are attacking you, they're going to be utterly destroyed. And then after that, Isaiah says, God will bring the king of Assyria. That's verse 17. Look at that if you have your Bibles open. The Lord will bring upon you and upon your people and upon your father's house such days as have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah. So going all the way back to the one nation, God's people, right after Solomon, King Solomon, then it divides into two, northern kingdom, southern kingdom. God's going to bring unto you now as such days that haven't been seen since that. He's going to bring the king of Assyria. And Ahaz at that point might be thinking, great, I wanted this. You know, I sent him all the gold in the temple to have him come and deliver me. But then Isaiah goes on to describe what that's going to look like. Ahaz wanted to hire the Assyrian Empire to fight for him and to drive out these invaders. And they did. They came. They defeated Syria. They defeated the northern kingdom. And then the Assyrian Empire stayed in Judah and made Ahaz a puppet king for the Assyrian Empire. If you have your Bibles open, look at chapter 7, verses 18 and 19. There, Isaiah is describing Assyria as a plague of flies, like bees swarming over the land. Look over at chapter 8, verse 4. Before the boy knows how to cry, my father or my mother, the wealth of Damascus and the spoils of Samaria will be carried away to the king of Assyria. So these are those two northern kingdoms. They're totally defeated by Assyria, but Assyria is not done yet, because then you jump down to verses 7, chapter 8, verses 7 through 8. Therefore, behold, the Lord is bringing up against them the waters of the river, mighty and many, the king of Assyria and all his glory. And it will rise over all its channels and go over all of its banks. So Assyria is invading Judah, flooding over like a river, overspilling its banks and flooding everything. And it will sweep on into Judah. It will overflow and pass on. It will reach even to the neck, and its outspread wings will fill the breadth of your land. And then look at how verse 8 ends. Oh, Emmanuel. Now what does Emmanuel mean? Emmanuel means God with us. That was the promise. The virgin is going to have a baby, name him Emmanuel, God with us. He's going to save his people from his sin. And here, after describing the destruction of Judah, you have this saying, oh, Emmanuel. God with us. Here's the truth. God is present with us no matter what. The question is, how is he present with you? Is he present with you to deliver and save you because you trust in him, you believe in him? Or is he present with you to judge you? And your faith in Christ or not is what determines God's presence with you. Emmanuel means God with us. It's a sign of his promise pointing forward to Christ delivering us. But here, when you look at chapter 8, verse 8, Emmanuel is pointing or mentioned in the destruction of Judah. God is with Ahaz, whether he likes it or not. Ahaz has rejected God's deliverance. He said, I want nothing to do with God. I'm going to work with the king of Assyria. And basically, in essence, God is replying and saying, go ahead, work with the king of Assyria. Let's see how that works out for you. And after the king of Assyria totally destroys Judah and floods the entire nation like a river spilling over its banks, you are going to know that I am Emmanuel, that I am with you. God offered to bless Ahaz, and Ahaz rejected that. God promised to deliver him, and Ahaz rejected that. And now Ahaz is going to suffer the consequences of his own decisions, his own decision to invite the Assyrian army in. And God will still be with him, but this time it's in judgment. Now, what's being taught here? What's being taught is that if we reject God's gracious deliverance and try to work out something for ourselves on our own, we might succeed for a little while. Just like Ahaz. I mean, initially, yeah, the Assyrians did drive out the two nations that were attacking him. But then they stayed. And they conquered him. And he became a puppet king for Assyria. They were the Assyrian Empire's vassal. Now the same is true for us today. When we turn away from God and try to figure it out on our own, it might work for a little while. We might be able to escape by turning to alcohol or drugs or online. It might even work for a little bit. Some turn to money as the answer, or their career or health or exercise or education or skills or family. And each of these things that we trust in and that we turn to in place of God might even help or work at first, but they don't even come close to comparing to the presence and the deliverance that is ours through faith in Jesus Christ. This Emmanuel promise of God being with us is a promise to bless. But if we refuse His blessing, God is with us. He is still present, but now in judgment. And this prophecy is fulfilled in Christ. And when you think about it, it takes this idea of Emmanuel to another level that many of us probably haven't considered. God is always present. He is always with us. Either to bless, deliver, save, or to judge and curse and destroy. Later on in this passage, Isaiah makes the point another way. If you look down to verse 14, if Israel trusts in God, He will be a sanctuary. And if they don't, He will be a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. Deliverance or destruction will come through Emmanuel, God with us. That's the sign. Now, what is this sign pointing to? Matthew tells us that the sign of God's deliverance... I'm in Ephesians. Matthew tells us in chapter 1 that the sign of God's presence, God's deliverance, is fulfilled in the birth of Jesus Christ. Here you have God's promise to be present, fulfilled in Christ. This is what all of these signs were pointing to. So all of these signs and prophecies of Christ and Emmanuel that we have in the Old Testament are all pointing forward to Jesus Christ. And this morning as we celebrated the sign of baptism, that's a sign that draws our attention back to Christ and what He has done to accomplish our salvation. Emmanuel, God with us. And what does that truth mean for you this morning? When it comes to Christ's birth, when it comes to what Christ has accomplished, some people simply don't care. It doesn't make much of a difference for them. They think of Christ's birth as maybe a nice tradition or a story that some people happen to believe, maybe on the same level of as believing in Santa Claus. They may be even happy for their friends or their family who find comfort in thinking or believing that there's a higher power who's in control of all things and watching over them. But it's not necessarily meaningful or true for them. But this way of thinking misses what Isaiah and what Matthew are saying. Emmanuel is not just a religious option for those who choose to embrace it. Emmanuel is the truth. God is with us whether we choose to embrace that or not. Matthew declares that God is with us. Christ has come and He is present either to save or to judge, to bless or to curse. He is present and mighty to save those who place their faith in Him, and He is the judge of those who reject Him. If we believe, He is with us to bless and save. And if not yet, then God is still with us. Today is the day of salvation, and he's calling us to turn to him with repentance and faith. But if you reject that, God is still with you, and this time as judge. Matthew in chapter 1 presents a picture of faith. But it's even more than that, because it's telling us what God has done, what the sign was pointing to as this plan of redemption is reaching its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. The prophecy of Isaiah, the sign, is now being fulfilled with this child growing in Mary's womb. The virgin shall conceive and she shall bear a son. And this son is born. God, it becomes human, is now made flesh. And his name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And we pray that God would work in us to receive what he accomplished in the birth of Jesus Christ. That we would give our hearts and our minds to him, that we would turn to him in obedience, that we would turn to him first of all in repentance and faith, and then we would strive to live our life for him in obedience, that we may know that he is with us, that he is blessing us, no matter what we're facing in our life. When it's the hard things, we can turn to him and we can trust him for comfort. When it's the good things and the joyful and the blessing things, we can thank him and praise him for those blessings. And it is here that God is with us in the person of Jesus Christ. This is what we believe. This is what we trust him. We love him. We obey him. We receive the blessings of his presence, his deliverance, his salvation. So what does Emmanuel mean for us today? Remember that Jesus doesn't say, "I will be with you always," but "I am with you always." The fulfillment of that prophecy is a present reality. And the emphasis is on Jesus himself being with us always to the very end of the age. Not only does God make his promise, "I will be your God and the God of your descendants after you. I will be with you, Emmanuel, God with us," but he shows us the full extent of his love in sending his one and only Son, Emmanuel, "I am with you." The threat of sin has been conquered. The threat of death, the enemy, has been conquered. Everything else we face in this life is just burnt up stumps of firewood like those two nations. When our faith is placed firmly in Christ, we will stand firm. And if not, we're not going to stand at all. God is with you, either to bless or curse, but he's present either way. Don't stop at the sign. Go to the thing that the sign is pointing to. Since God is with you, believe in him and receive the blessing of salvation that is found in Christ alone. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you praising you and thanking you for the redemption and the salvation that is ours in Christ. The good news of the gospel that we can hear and see and celebrate this morning. And it's our prayer that you would continue your work in softening our hearts to receive what you have begun with Christ's birth. That we will give our hearts and our minds to you. That we will know that you are with us to bless us. That you are with us in the person of Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, help us to live each and every day in light of this truth, in light of the blessing that is ours in Christ. Help us to share this good news with others, that you are with us, Emmanuel, that you save us in Christ alone. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.